Coming up next, I'm going to tell you when you should work for free, and then the odds of getting laid off are now at historic lows and what that means. Plus, a bunch of people have more headaches. We'll look into why, and I'm going to coach you up right now. Helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Excited to have you with us. I'm so fired up to get started. I just stumbled all over myself. So let's get into it. It turns out that it is now controversial to suggest to someone in person or online that maybe you should get an internship that doesn't pay you. You young people out there. It's controversial. Why? Because everybody is looking for an opportunity to get offended. And what am I talking about? This really came to a head back in March of 2021. Of course, it's on Twitter, which is the playground of progressives and snowflakes. I mean, there's just a high concentration of snowflakes on Twitter. In fact, there's more snowflakes on Twitter than any other social media platform. It's like it's where they all go to commiserate. And interesting that the snowflakes, the people that get offended so easily, are also the ones that are the angriest. So NFL sports reporter Jane Slater, well, she was the evil person. Evil person, this Jane Slater. Wait till you hear how evil she is. I mean, it's mind-blowing how evil and unrealistic and just a jerk this woman is. Now, I could tell you that. Or I can read what she said, and you be the judge to see how big of a jerk Jane really is. This is her tweet. Broadcast journalism students, exciting internship opportunity for you. Can you set up well-lit Zoom Skype calls, record, edit them, and want access to the league's top draft prospects? Can't you tell this woman's a jerk? I mean, there is jerkness just dripping off of this, and I haven't even finished the tweet. She goes on. It gets worse. It's not with, and she says the person's name or place or organization, but it is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Unpaid, great experience, inbox me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let that sit with everybody for a second because I know that's a lot to process early on in the show. What a complete jerk Jane is. Using her knowledge to spread the word to young broadcast students who want to get in the industry about an opportunity to get in. She got lit up. Now, if you haven't figured out yet that I'm being sarcastic, let me now let you in on the joke. Jane's awesome. You know why Jane's awesome? Because Jane took the time. She's got her own busy life, work schedule. And she said, hey, listen, if anybody wants a break, that's what she was saying. Inbox me, reply to me. She was offering an opportunity, an unpaid opportunity, yes. She got lit up by a bunch of liberal, progressive snowflakes who took what she said as an assault on human dignity. And I'm not being ridiculous. It's exactly what happened. They went after her like she was the biggest jerk in the world. It's not dignified for anybody to work for free. Okay, so this is what I want to address then. In this situation, this is not a full-time job. So stop it. This idea of working for free does not mean 40, 50 hours a week over 5 years or even a year. It is a short-term way, call it an internship, a non-paid internship, shadowing somebody, volunteering, you pick the description. But it is the idea of working for free to make some progress. So here's the problem. So many young people, and this is particularly in this younger generation, who they've had their feelings hurt, and they've been given participation ribbons their entire life, so all they've ever heard is, you're awesome, you deserve a trophy. I mean, it's not their fault, but that's what's going on. I mean, there's all kinds of angst out there about working for free. Let me redefine it. First of all, you are stunting your progress by only looking for opportunities to get paid. You might have to knock down a day job and work for free 5, 10, 15, 20 hours a week. You're still holding down another job, but this is allowing you to make progress on the path to your dream. But when you're only looking for paid opportunities, and let me just say this, broadcasting, which I know I started out, I'll tell you my story shortly, is a very difficult field to get into. They don't have huge budgets, or else they would pay people. I hear these ridiculous statements online. Well, they have all this money. I mean, they ought to pay people. If they could, they would, you dolts. They don't have the budget for it. But if you can get in and provide a little bit of extra manpower, what happens? So this is a short-term strategy and one of the best ways to get your foot in the door. And the goal, by the way, isn't for these evil companies to get free labor. It's for you to gain free experience. Let's flip this. There's nothing bad here. It's all good. They're not trying to get free labor, but it's a way for you to get free experience. So we got to reshape this. So there's three reasons why a lot of you young people should work for free. Or if you're trying to get in your middle age, you're trying to pivot. Three reasons, and I'm going to tell you what they are momentarily, but let me just tell you quickly my personal story. I'm in my early 30s. I want to get into broadcasting. I don't have a college degree. I don't have any experience. And it hits me one day, I need to go volunteer and get in. So I go down to 680 to the Fan, the ESPN affiliate in Atlanta, and I walk in and talk to the receptionist. I tell them, hey, I'm here to volunteer some time. She goes, all right, let me connect you to our program director. I get about a two-minute meeting with him and say, look, I'll help out any way you need me to help out. He goes, okay, we need some help on our afternoon show. It's from this time to this time. And I committed the first month that I would try to come in 3 days a week and do the three-hour show, and I would do everything from research to screening calls. To running errands in the building, anything. And it really paid off for me. To this day, opened up some enormous opportunities down the road, not immediately. So why would I do that? I'm going to give you three reasons why I did it and why you should work for free, short term. Number one, it gets you in the door. Gets you in. You're not on the outside looking in anymore. You're inside. It's hard to get in. But once I'm in, woohoo, right? We're in. Number two, you get relevant experience. And number three, you make valuable connections. I get in, I get experience, I make connections. I get in, I get experience, I make connections. That's why you should look for opportunities short term to work for free, a small portion of your time. This is not a full-time week. Nobody is saying that you should not earn a paycheck. Relax and listen. Breakthroughs come sometimes by getting in, getting experience, and making connections. Why do we do this? Because this could jumpstart your progress. Many of you are holding your progress back. Working for free could jumpstart your progress and fast forward everything. So I want to ask the chat room, we'll get in this later. Have you ever worked for free? How did it pay off? What would you say? We'll play around with that. Don't go anywhere. In the News is next. Over 280 million people have been affected by data breaches this year alone. The need for cybersecurity is exploding. Cybersecurity jobs will grow 33% in the next decade. To meet this demand, Bethel School of Technology has launched a program in cybersecurity. Bethel School of Tech's online boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training with the highest chances of post-school employment. And they do it at a fraction of the cost in a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. So excited that you are here with us. I tell you folks all the time that I'm a man of the people, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Very excited. The leadership of Ramsey Solutions have said, hey, we need to go help people pivot or help people upskill for promotion, upskill for pivoting. So we're doing that with Ramsey Academy. One of the ways we're doing it is with one of the fastest growing skills worldwide. In fact, economists are saying that project management as a skill, as a career path, is looking to expand, or they expect it to expand by 33% through the year 2027. And beyond just jobs as a project manager, what it leads to, it's a path to an executive level position if you want it. It's a very versatile position. So that's why we're excited to open up our second installment of Project Management 101. I'll be teaching alongside our Ramsey Chief Technology Officer, Brendan Wojcko. It's a three-week course. You'll walk away with the tools and strategies that you need to confirm that project management is right for you, and then to actually get in and move up in project management. Spots are limited. Don't wait. Apply now at RamseySolutions.com/project. RamseySolutions.com/project. All right, let's get to it. A couple stories in the news. All right, odds of getting laid off are at historic lows in the tightest labor market in 50 years. Now, last week on the show, I talked about what I'm calling coasters. People that they don't hate their job. They're not actively screwing up, but they don't love their job, and they're not crushing it either, right? We said that they were on cruise control. You know, that little feature in the car where you just hit a button, take the foot off the gas, and settle in, keeping the hands on the wheel, paying attention so we don't wreck the car, but we're not actively trying to get from point A to point B. We're not as engaged as a driver. We just aren't. Foot's not on the gas is the metaphor. And that's what I'm calling coasters. And we're seeing more and more and more of this in today's working economy. On the heels of that, here's another headline. Wall Street Journal is the headline. New claims for unemployment benefits are trending at their lowest level since 1968. Okay, so this has been pretty steady prior to the pandemic. Let's just go back briefly to set the context and the scene for where we are now. In February of 2020, we were reporting on this show that it was the lowest unemployment rate we'd ever seen. There were more jobs available than there were people who were unemployed. Then the pandemic hit, and then we saw unemployment obviously spike for a season, and then it's now resettled out to where we are right back to where we were pre-pandemic. In fact, the unemployment rate's slightly bit lower. And then the pandemic, while there were some initial layoffs and furloughs, the pandemic spit off at a creation of a whole new type of job and jobs, lots of different jobs as it relates to remote work. I'll give you one example in the healthcare industry, an explosion of what they're calling medical support staff. So they're not nurses or doctors or PAs, but they assist with, if you will, hospital or healthcare operations in an assist role, right? So that's just an example of the type of jobs that the pandemic and the change in our behavior spun off. So here we sit now, and unemployment, 50-year lows. And so what's happening? So it's very interesting. Erica Groshen, former commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there's a quote in this article that I want to read because she's absolutely right on track with what's going on. And I touched on this last week. She said, companies in the past have tended to have more caution on the side of hiring than on the side of layoffs. And she goes on to say, I think right now they have a more balanced caution. The balance has tilted a little bit to paying attention to the risk of laying people off. So what she's saying is, traditionally, there's been more caution for a company to go, well, we don't want to hire too many people. In other words, we don't want to commit to salaries and raise our expenses. That's a risk. And so we want to be cautious about when we staff up, when we hire. It makes total sense. But now it's flipped because of what reason? Because we're already in the Great Resignation. Nearly 30 million people have changed jobs over the last 6, 7, 8 months. It's continuing to do that. And so there's this bidding war for talent. So what that's caused is the high turnover that we've seen, employee turnover across all industries in the United States. You got hiring managers and leaders are going, ooh, we don't want to lay anybody off. Because you start going, you know, it's a flip from what's it going to cost us to hire people with salary and benefits and training and everything to now what's it going to cost to replace somebody? That's the bigger angst. So it's really, really interesting. So what is happening below the surface? Well, we talked about it last week, but here we go. Real data out of the news. It was my opinion last week. I got to tell you, leaders, I'm speaking to you. We have lots of different people listening and watching the show. Leaders, let me tell you what's going on. You're not careful. You're going to allow the coasting. It's like the parent who's afraid to parent because the parent doesn't want to piss the kid off, as opposed to doing what's right for the kid, knowing the kid's going to be pissed off. All right, well, I don't want a parent here. And so leaders don't want to lead because if we upset Frank or Larry and Larry leaves, we're like, what are we going to do if Larry leaves? I get it. The fear is real. You've watched people leave you. As a result, you've been overburdened. You're trying to catch plates falling off. And this is a leadership fear. It's real. But you still have to lead. And allowing people to take advantage of your fear, watch, is doing more harm to the company than if Larry left. Because if Larry's coasting and productivity's dropping anyway, and you're afraid to tell Larry, get your butt in gear, Larry, or I'm going to fire your tail, what's the trade-off here? Productivity's hurt anyway. You got to lead. Let's get people in who are engaged. So, very interesting times. And I'm telling you, there's a real leadership fear here. I understand it, but you're going to have to lead. Well, I'm afraid they're going to leave me. Maybe them leaving you would be the best thing that ever happened to you and the company. Let's look at why they would leave when you tell them how to do what's right or you hold them accountable. If they're leaving because you hold them accountable, is it possible that they have some character issues? So do I want high character people or do I want low character people? What's my fear? And what is the role that that fear is playing in holding my company back? It's something you got to think about, you know? So there you go. I'm worried about my kid throwing a tantrum in Walmart. Well, you know, if you parent them at home a few times and they throw their tantrum at home and you deal with that, then there's a good chance they won't do it in Walmart. Has anybody thought of that concept? I don't know. So there you go. All right. And another quick story here. Half the world's population has headaches, women more than men. This is a Fox New York report. Scientists say that more than half the entire global population is suffering from some form of headache disorder. By the way, is it just me or are we sick of saying things like headache disorder? It's not a disorder. There's a pattern of headaches. So why are people having headaches? Well, they touch on this in the article a little bit. A lot of people having migraines and they're saying that the biggest cause of migraines is poor sleep habits. So I'm no sleep expert, but sleep's part of it. But I can tell you something else. It's all the daggum stress. Flush your brain. You know? If I got cavities, I got to get my teeth fixed. I got to check my habits. Maybe I got to floss. Every time I brush, my gums are bleeding. Ugh, gross. Start taking care of your gums. We're going to talk more on that in the days ahead. How to take care of your mind at the workplace, and maybe you won't have so many headaches. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. For those of you that are searching, we still are in a super, super hot, super, super favorable climate. For those of you who want to switch to something else, now don't just chase the paycheck alone or you're going to end up regretting that. Make sure it's on purpose. If it is a day job, it's at least on the ladder that you want to be climbing. And one of the ways to do this without all the pain and agony of getting ghosted, filling out resumes all day long when you go, I don't have time to do all that, is to use my friends at ZipRecruiter. They get it. Nobody wants to feel alone or frustrated in the job search. Their artificial intelligence does much of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs you can apply to with just one click. And they're out there pitching you all the time to employers that have jobs that match up your profile. So you will stand out. I'm telling you, folks, feel the love from ZipRecruiter. And it's free to you. The companies pay them. Why wouldn't you try it? It's free. ZipRecruiter.com. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. Sawyer's up next in Austin, Texas. Sawyer, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How's it going?
I'm living the dream, Sawyer. What are you doing?
I'm living the dream.
There we go.
Got a question for you. How do you navigate salary negotiations without overvaluing or undervaluing your skill set?
Yeah, good question. It's not a perfect science, but I think it can be fairly precise. And the way you do it is you are looking for three buckets of information, okay? One bucket is your zip code or region of the country, right? So we know Austin, Texas is a pretty good job market. So that's that zip code, you know, local market for jobs. Second, you're going to look at your experience, okay? And then you're going to look at your skill set. So what I mean by the market is, let's say you're you know the type of job you're going for or what profession it's in, and you do the research, and there's plenty of ways to research it. What's the range of income for somebody in your line of work with your experience and your skill set? Those are the three buckets together. And when we research that and we get a pretty decent idea of what a range is, okay, then we have to decide, where do I want to be on the range? There's the want to. And then another question is, where do I have to? So I could say, you know, I want to be on the high end, but if they offer me something in the mid range, I've got to ask myself, am I willing to say yes to that, or am I willing to walk and say no? So that's the quick range of information and how we make a decision. So do you know any of that information right now? What line of work are you going into?
So I'm in quality assurance and I'm a quality manager, and so a little bit of a different situation. So this would be same quality assurance, but change of industry. I'm currently in pharmaceuticals and looking at going more of an engineering company that reached out to me.
Okay.
And then it's also in a different zip code. So kind of lots of different experience.
Like how, you know, far away? Zip code.
Across the country.
Oh, okay. Well, so we're going to go, so we know the market there, right? So we know what metropolitan area it is. So you got to do that homework.
Okay.
The company reached out to you. So that tells me they're interested in you at the very least. Do they want you, or are they just interested in you? Big difference.
I'm not sure. I had a meeting with them and then they wanted to set up another meeting with me. And so, you know, and they asked the dreaded question of, what are your salary expectations?
Okay, and so what do you make right now?
So right now I make 65.
Okay, so knowing what you know now, and I know you don't know enough, but I've given you where you need to go dig, but knowing what you know now, what are your salary expectations right now?
Probably 75, 80.
Okay, what's that based on?
That would be based on job location, and then as well as my experience at this job over, and kind of build their system, what they're looking for.
So you feel like you already have some relevant skills and experience that are transferable?
Correct. Yes.
Great. So that's a good start. Okay. So what you now have to do is, to back to your initial question, how do I not overvalue or undervalue myself? That was the heart of your question.
Yes.
So what we do is we go, your expectations are 75 to 80. Now you got to go figure out, are your expectations, where do they fall in the range of low, medium, or high?
Okay.
That's what you got to figure out. Wouldn't hurt to talk to a couple recruiters. You know, like people go, Ken, where do I start? If you had some recruiters that reach out to you that aren't involved in this particular situation, also doing some research on, you know, in the engineering field, these type of positions, what do they pay in this area? And that's going to give you a good idea.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Once you find out this information, this comes down to you. You know, and you may think you've overvalued. I mean, they may think you overvalued, but if you did your homework and you did your research, then you know I didn't come up with 75-80 with no evidence. Right now you kind of have, but let's just go figure out where it sits on the range.
Okay.
And then you know, well, listen, it's not a function of overvalue and undervalue if you've done your homework. Because you've done your homework, you know you're in the range. Now it's whether or not they're willing to pay that for you. And then it comes down right. to, are you willing to move from Austin, Texas to another part of the country for less? And I think I know the answer. It's no. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Any other questions on that? Did I help you see what you need to do? I want to make sure you know your next steps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I like the, gives me a good outline of what I need to investigate more on.
How long ago did they reach out to you?
Last week.
And because when you said you don't know if they're interested in you or they want you, you don't know. I'd find that out pretty quickly. Did they reach out to you direct or was there a recruiter involved?
So they reached out to me directly, and I had an interview with one of them. They said, okay, you know, let's set up another meeting for today. And then they kind of ghosted me and I haven't heard back from them. So that's why I'm not really sure.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Yeah. I mean, at this point, do your homework so you're prepared, but I wouldn't sweat it too much. You know, right. Here's what we're hearing, that companies like this are ghosting people too. It drives me bananas. We've lost our sense of decency. You know, company like this will reach out to a guy like Sawyer, tell them they're interested, and then they'll just not ever reply. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me. So really good question, though, on how do we know what our value is? Folks, the information's out there. You can dig. You can figure it out. Get your range. And then once you know your range of what the marketplace value is based on your skill and experience, then you go, okay, what am I willing to say yes to? And what am I going to absolutely say no to? And once we do that, then we're golden. All right, let's go into the chat room here real quick. Let's see, what are the comments here? CMCSS1, another part of working for free is what Ken teaches constantly, and that's that the networking and getting to know those in the business. Absolutely. That's true. DM says, what if I know people that are not related to the field I'm applying to? Well, let's ask them, do they know somebody in the field? See, here's what we think of when we think of connections. We think of, this is what we do, is we as humans, we go, okay, let me run through my head really quick. Close personal connections. I got family, and then we got friends, and I got some social media people I talk to, and I see these people over here at my kid's soccer game every week, and then we stop. I've had people call the show before and go, Ken, I need your help, man. I'm from a small town. How small of town? Like 5,000 people. I don't know anybody. Okay. So I'll say to them, how many people you know? 100, 150, maybe 200. Okay. How many people do you think those 150, 200 people know? Well, probably the same amount. Now all of a sudden we've expanded in one answer to at least a universe of 40,000 people. So don't forget, you know everybody you need to know. It's not about who you know sometimes. It's about who you know, who they know. Don't forget that. Hey, I got to get out of here. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.